With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
If we just stay patient and grounded, and we keep long-term in mind, which is really my primary responsibility, keep the long-term in mind, then we'll see. And if it doesn't work, then the people who want me out will probably get their wish. So, but there's going to be, we're going to take some time in doing this the right way.
Okay, that's...
The laugh track is a nice touch.
That's... Yeah, I didn't know if it'd be Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm by the end, but that was the sound, the original, the voice of John Paxson came from the traditional Christmas, the interview that David Schuster, our next guest, does with John Paxson when they go away to a manger and have the interview, and then...
They build a snowman together. It's really beautiful.
And then... Zach Withers put the laugh track under it to underscore John Paxson's firing on Danny Parkins during that interview that he couldn't even make a joke, which is, that's what John said, it was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard it again...
You know, when you have all that eggnog, all that spiked eggnog.
All that in the... Yeah, and things in a manger, you know, frankincense, myrrh, you just never know what you're going to... So, let me ask you this, David Schuster. Hi, how are you, David Schuster, first of all?
Well, nice talking to you guys. It's been a while.
Yes,
it has been. But I want to, we replayed that yesterday when I worked with Bernsey, and I said, I've known John long enough, interviewed John, and talked to him and seen, I could hear that sentence, and I could imagine a smile. I sort of heard that smile in the answer, that because of my history with John, and I have no idea what you remember from that or what you saw, but you're a material witness to this to this case. What do you recall about that specific line since it came up in the interview?
Well, honestly, I thought about this over the last couple of days since that happened, mm-hmm. and I don't remember his facial reaction, but I sort of took it at the time as tongue-in-cheek, like he said to those guys. I really don't think he meant... You know, that I'm going to throw in the towel here if things don't work over the next whatever span of time. So when he said it was tongue in cheek, I took it at the time as tongue in cheek, but honestly, I don't remember his facial reaction when he said it.
Okay, now here's David Schuster. Here he joins us. We have the Bobby Portis revenge game, the Otto Porter revenge game. We have Bobby Portis is just a piece of work. I love this guy. He's so much interesting.
He is
now
great.
That he's
so
gone.
So much fun. Well,
now that he's gone, because he's firing on. Okay, so yesterday, Otto Porter hits his first three shots, right, as a bull, right? He doesn't mm-hmm. take the first one until there's like 9 minutes in or whatever it is. And, oh, my God, look at this guy. He's found a place. He's finding a place, and he hits and he hits and he hits. And all of a sudden, the court became bigger, wider, whatever. So Jeff Van Gerten, part of the Score broadcast with Chuck and Bill, he tweets out, Otto Porter has hit his first three shots. And Bobby Portis would tweet back later, I hit my first six with a Wizards, man. I mean, he's giving an LOL to Corey Westerlund from 2 days ago as he's doing.
That was the amusing part to me. And I mean, I saw both of those and I'm thinking, my God, he's following everybody and he's responding to everybody's comments now that he's gone. And I got such a kick out of that. I'm going to miss Bobby Portis because I did some remotes with him, you know, in the past also. Really fun guy, and he opened up more and more as time went on. So I'm going to miss this guy, and he's a good ball player. You know, the Bulls just didn't want to give him starter's money if he wasn't going to be a starter. But, you know, he's going to end up being a starter probably for Washington. He'll get his money, which is, you know, ultimately what I'm sure both he and his agents are looking for.
I understand why they traded him, because he's, you know, he's essentially a luxury piece on a good team, and you're not in any position to pay him as you're figuring out what the hell you are. But see, here's the thing. I realized that their failure to get the most out of Bobby Portis is emblematic of how this thing keeps feeling so screwed up. Like, when you're in the middle of a rebuild, you can find guys. You know, you can find guys. It's why I get angry when I remember back that they had Spencer Dinwiddie in camp and they decided to cut him, and now he's, you know, he's a net.
Actually, he's hurt, isn't he?
He's hurt now, but he played himself into a contract and, like, a very solid NBA player all of a sudden. It's why I hate when they get rid of second-round picks for $3.5 million. You might get a Jordan Bell you could actually use. They did well to draft Bobby Portis where they did. And then he developed a little bit. And then this year he took a step back, I thought, because in the Boylan idiotic offense, he didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Is that the title of it?
And now the timeline doesn't match up, so they have to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they keep screwing up the little things like that. They're bad at evaluating talent.
Are they really bad?
And here's another aspect. The rebuild keeps changing.
Right.
It changed with this Otto Porter trade, obviously. They basically said that they're not going to get any free agents over the next couple of years, so they had to go out and get a small forward in a trade in Otto Porter. I want to throw this question out to you and to everybody else. Let's just say the Bulls get super lucky, and that's what it would be for them to get Zion Williamson. You tell me, with what they have right now, what the Bulls starting five is next year if Zion Williamson is drafted by the Bulls. Help me out with that.
Jordan Pippen.
No. I'm being serious now. What's the Bulls starting five if they draft Zion Williamson? And he would be a starter, obviously. So tell me what their starting five is.
Okay, so you've got Markkanen.
Stretch five.
Exactly. Markkanen is a stretch five.
Well, stretch four.
Okay, well, Zion, where are you playing Zion? What position?
Well, you're going to have to play him at three. You're going to have to, even though he's sort of a hybrid 3-4, but he's going to be in your starting lineup.
And he's going to play four, and Markkanen's going to play five.
Markkanen, Zion, and then Zach LaVine, and then Otto Porter, and your veteran point guard that they bring in instead of Chris Dunn is Derrick Rose.
No, you're right. Wendell Carter is going to be their center next year.
Okay.
No matter what. Markkanen is going to be your power forward, stretch four, whatever you want to call him, no matter what. Let's just say your guards stay the same, and Chris Dunn is at least iffy, but let's just say he's the starting point guard. Zach LaVine is still on the team as your two-guard position. And then Otto Porter, who you just traded for $57 million for the next couple of years, is not a starter.
Okay, so he's not a starter.
No, see, that's why I think they would go ahead and play super small and positionless, and maybe Wendell has to come off the bench for starters until Zach, or you know what I mean? Like, I don't know exactly what they would do. You think Wendell's going to start and play every game next year?
Yes, he's their starting center going forward, yes.
Well, I don't know that you have to be married to that idea.
Maybe it changes
opponent to opponent. And who's going to be the coach? Are you going to have a real NBA coach, or are you going to have Jim Boylan?
That's a good question in itself. And do you want Jim Boylan to be the coach of a talent like Zion Williamson? These are all questions that, you know, are fun to think about, and maybe they'll be answered down the road. But like I said, you know, the rebuild keeps changing on the fly, and maybe that's the way it is around the league. I don't necessarily blame the Bulls for making this trade the other day, because they don't see getting a small forward unless they get really lucky in the draft, and that's why they went for Otto Porter right now, and obviously Jabari Parker was ticketed out of here. There's no question about that, and if it took Bobby Portis to make the trade work, then unfortunately that's what had to happen. But the rebuild seemingly changes a lot on the fly.
Talking with David Schuster, we're doing it here on The Score, talking Bulls basketball. So, Bobby Portis had back-to-back 30-point games for two different teams. Nobody's done that before. And here he comes with revenge on his mind. Those crazy eyes are going to get crazier. And Zach LaVine, good close with Bobby Portis, says about tonight's game, we're going to try to give them a good bleep you game. And Bobby Portis said on TV, I think the Wizards got a steal with me and Jabari, and that was given a retweet by Dwayne Wade that just said facts. So I don't know what you expect, what you think, what you hear about tonight's game, but it sounds interesting, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. I mean, this might be the game of the year, at least to look forward to. I mean, obviously there's not going to be any postseason basketball, no playoff, anything close to it. So this might be the closest thing to playoff intensity because of the emotion of a lot of guys. And let's not forget, unless he's still going to be injured, Niko Mirotić is the next home game, so that'll be the first time he might play in an opposing uniform at the United Center. So after Monday, there's probably nothing to look forward to other than to see if Otto Porter fits in here. How about Zach LaVine also, by the way, saying this is the first time he's had fun in a long, long time. What a sad commentary that in itself is on the Bulls this season.
Okay, but
from last night.
Why do you think that? Because Jim Boylan is still the coach. It's not like they were released from Boylan prison.
They won big. That must feel outrageously good to Zach LaVine, who's lost 200 games in his NBA career.
Also, the court got spread. Otto Porter Jr. spread the court, and the ball movement yesterday was unfortunately exceptional.
The Bulls played actually played a decent game last night. Now, again, it's against a team that's really not that good. And as you said, Spencer Dinwiddie's not even playing right now. And the Nets were not playing much, if any, defense. But the Bulls actually looked like an NBA team last night.
Oh, God, it's all just so sad.
Because you want that top draft pick.
Well,
that's why you say that.
Because if you don't finish in the bottom three in a year like this, you're not doing your job. You're just not. And the way the league is constructed, when there is a prize, you have to finish in the bottom three. You have to. And you have the opportunity to do so. It's like when they didn't trade Pau Gasol because they said he was part of the core, and that was an opportunity. They could have fallen into the lottery that year. Mm-hmm. You know, like they have failed to take advantage of those kind of opportunities many, many times. And the league is so screwed up, you have to take advantage of those.
And they lost the coin flip where Sacramento got the second pick. They tied with Sacramento last year, 6. One got 6, one got 7, whatever it was. They lost the coin flip, and Sacramento moved up. However, that spot was chosen, those ping pong balls came up. So they got unlucky there while they were getting – speaking of getting lucky and unlucky, David, let me ask you this. Speaks brought this up, that the three alphas year, which – they had money to spend. Maybe they were ordered to spend money to fill seats. Is that a creation of your random Reinsdorf in ownership to make sure seats got filled, to put on a show on the floor that bought extra time for Garpax
to
security or whatever you want to call it? You just keep rebuilding every year. Did that buy them some shield? Did they get out of getting fired for 2 years kind of thing? Did that extend their life because they were carrying out orders from random Reinsdorfs?
I don't think so. I can't be definitive because I wasn't in the room when maybe that conversation might have been had at that juncture, but I don't think so. They just all of a sudden saw a chance to get a Dwayne Wade. Did it put some extra fannies in the seats? Maybe a few, but to be honest with you, those seats were pretty much sold to begin with. Did it get some further goodwill with the fan base? I don't know.
It failed.
To be honest with you.
I think it was an attempt at that, David, that failed, right?
Because they didn't go anywhere, to be honest with you, with it, ultimately. And then Rondo, of course, hurt himself. I think the Bulls might have beaten the Celtics in that series if he stayed healthy, for what it's worth. But, you know, that's revisionist history at this point. Ultimately, like I said, the rebuild constantly has changed here a little bit. They talked about going young and athletic, and then they bring in those two guys, which is, you know, the antithesis of what they were talking about. So, you know, it seemingly changes all the time.
That year stands out to me for exactly that. Let's go young and athletic, and then they bring in Wade and Rondo. And
is that the year they also drafted Denzel Valentine?
Yes.
Who at least was young.
And certainly not athletic. And wasn't really even that young.
No, he wasn't. Not compared to the 18-year-olds coming out.
Nope. No. He was. So,
BS on
that. Absolutely. And it screwed up any potential timeline for this possible summer to be ready. And that was in a LeBron in the East universe. They willingly accepted dreams of mediocrity. And they slogged their way to the eighth seed, right? And I think they would have beaten the Celtics. I think you're right about that. But who cares? You know, that would have been one extra series and some playoff revenue and two extra weeks of entertainment for Bulls fans. Look at the East now with no LeBron. Toronto made a deal going for it. Philly made two deals going for it. Milwaukee adds Nico going for it. And the Bulls are not even remotely appetizing, and they know it. Sad.
They're going to have to get lucky, guys. I mean, they're going to need a Zion Williamson or, well, I don't know if there's anybody else of that ilk. You know, the other kid there is
Barrett,
good. But,
RJ Barrett.
I mean, Williamson is the prize, obviously.
Okay, so did you see any movies, and do you have Oscar picks for us, since we're not going to be, I don't know what next week's going to be, but...
When is the Oscars?
Two weeks from today.
From tomorrow, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I saw a couple movies. I probably saw even more than a couple movies, but my senility doesn't remember them all since it's been so long. I saw Stan and Ollie, which is about Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, John C. Reilly. I really want to see that.
Grew up.
He did a really good job, and so did Steve Coogan as the other character. I mean, I thought they both did a good job. Now, it's not the most exciting movie. It's a little slow moving at first, and then picks up a little bit towards the end. But it's interesting because I learned something from this. Laurel and Hardy were much like the Three Stooges, and I don't mean just comedians.
No, there's
the
only two of them, David.
There's only two and three. I do understand the difference between that.
They're not that much like them.
No, what I meant by that is that the fact that they got screwed by the industry back in those days, and they didn't make the money that they deserved to be making like they did in the movies, much like the Three Stooges got screwed by all the revenue that was kept away from them. So in order to try and recoup some of that money at the tail end of their careers, they went over to Europe and they were doing some shows there to try and, you know, bring some more life back into their shows. And ultimately, you know, unfortunately, one of the two of them got sick, and that was pretty much the end of their relationship. But it was really an interesting movie, and I thought John C. Reilly and Steve Coogan did a really good job. It's not really getting that much acclaim, or it's not that many people are going to see it at the theaters, but I definitely think it was worth seeing, no question.
The other movie I saw going back, a
few weeks, was Ben Is Back, which actually did get some acclaim by the critics, Julia Roberts and Lucas Hedges. I wasn't as gung-ho as the critics on this movie. I didn't really find it totally believable, to be honest with you. But, you know, still worth seeing overall. So those are the two movies that I can remember.
Did you see The Trip and the trip to the two Trip movies that Steve Coogan made?
I did not.
Me neither. I've heard they're very, very good.
They are treasures.
Yeah.
He and Rob Brydon, and they... They spend just, they're talented comedians. They take this trip. It's a wonderful idea, well executed. I love Steve Coogan, wildly underrated. So
yeah, he was really, really good in this movie. As far as the Oscars, guys, it's not the greatest of years for movies overall. For me, the best movie I saw was Green Book. I don't know if that's going to win or not. It's won a few honors at some of these other shows that have been cropping up over the last month or so. To me, it was the best movie I saw. I don't know if Black Klansman or Black Panther or, you know, the Rhapsody movie is going to win. I have no idea. But for me, the best movie I saw was Green Book.
Thank you, David. I loved Star is Born. I think for some...
That was really good, too.
For some reason, it's getting just a little bit minimized in terms of the competition, and it shouldn't be. I thought it was absolutely brilliantly done.
He got screwed by obviously not being nominated for Best Director.
Right. By the way, Peoria Matt says via text that he thought Stan and Ollie was a documentary about Garpax. I understand why he would...
Well, they're more like the Three Stooges because they're making enough mistakes for three people.
Well, Boylan is Curly.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. No, he's actually Joe Besser.
By the way, the story of Stan and Ollie getting and guys like that getting screwed from they're just paid their contracts and they didn't not the residuals. The best story about that, the Monkees were the same way.
Okay.
The Monkees were hired to play the Monkees.
Right. Hired as actors.
By Don Kirshner.
Yep.
And when Mike Nesmith, the story goes, Mike Nesmith found out what Don Kirshner was making and what the Monkees, the people playing the Monkees weren't, that Mike Nesmith hung Don Kirshner out the Capitol building's record, the famous looking corncob building.
Suge Knight action here.
Yes. Hung him out there. until the contractors reworked.
Shug Nesmith. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's right. So that's the story. That's how you get. That's how you get even. That's sort of a musical Luca Brasi. Either your brain or that signature is going on the contract.
Hey, Maddie, has the Tributosaurus ever played the Monkees?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have. We have.
Really?
Yeah, because those songs are unbelievably good.
One of them was Carole King and Jerry Goffin.
A lot of them were. She wrote Pleasant Valley Sunday.
It's her birthday today. We should Carole have Chris Hine on.
Yeah, yeah, I'm in. But no, a lot of them were Carole King, Jerry Goffin, Barry Mann, Cynthia Weil, Neil
yes.
Diamond wrote a bunch of them. It's like they were brill building songwriters. There's some really, really good ones in there. So, yes, sir.
So you did a Monkees.
Yeah, it was great fun. Because you think it's just such a jokey little stuff, but the depth of really good songs in there is quite something.
See?
Agreed.
Last Train to Turdsville is not just a throwaway line.
Mm-hmm.
David, thanks. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.